Hey guys, welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's Doctor Who After Show. We're talking about the pyramid at the end of the world.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey Whovians, welcome back to AfterBuzz TV for Doctor Who time. Ooh. Well, we don't have Tari, but Dave's making it plenty weird.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Settle in, guys.
Yes.
It's gonna be a long one. All right.
This will be the rest of the episode.
Yep. All right, guys. Welcome back to the Doctor Who After Show. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. I have two of my fantastic, normal fantastic panel here.
And one weirdo.
That's accurate.
Wow.
Adrian Snow.
Hi, guys.
Adrian Snow's back.
We're going this way. Hi, I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. That's MSADRINSNOW.
Also back this week,
oh,
Dave
yeah.
Child.
I'm back. I'm Dave Child. You can find me at MRDaveChild or DaveChild.com. I got a pin this week. I got a TARDIS pin this
week.
I wanted to see it in case the microphone.
And because I couldn't get the two of them back without trading in my other co-host.
Right.
Tari Miller couldn't unfortunately join us this week. He's out of town. But Steve Kaufman jumping in to fill in the slot.
Really happy to be here. Love talking Doctor Who. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That's KAUFMANN.
All right, let's nerd out about the pyramid at the end of the world.
Yeah.
As the second of three episodes in this three-parter,
right?
What do you guys think? First reactions.
I'm loving this stream of episodes. I loved last week. I wasn't here to talk about it. I don't know how you guys feel. I didn't get to watch
the, I want to know from both of you guys, like in the same paragraph, what did you think of last week and this week's episodes?
I mean, I liked last week's a lot because I've been kind of obsessed with the simulation theory,
mm-hmm.
and so the way that they've addressed that and used it, and it was an interesting way that I haven't seen done before. The whole like the doctor in the simulation was able to contact the doctor in real life, and that's how he was able to kind of get the warning ahead. So I like that, and I like this episode too, even though I'm not sure what the benefit of the last week's episode was able to do on the doctor. That heads up kind of gave him, I guess it gave him a little bit of a warning, and he kind of knew what he was dealing with in this episode with the monks. But I did really like this episode.
Adrian?
I liked last week's episode more so than this week's episode. Mm-hmm. I also really liked the suit that the doctor was in when he was electrocuting Missy.
Oh.
I appreciate that suit. I'm happy to see it's going to be back next episode. But I enjoyed the same thing with the simulation theory and all that kind of stuff, but I'm not necessarily in love with the monks or how they're kind of like being put out there, and so we'll see. I'm more excited to see the finale to the three-parter than this one was kind of filler. We kind of already knew what they were about, so it wasn't as exciting for me.
I would say I'm intrigued by the monks.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not totally like, whoa, they're great,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of potential to the monks where I'm like, that could be cool.
Right. Mm-hmm. I like how they look. I like the simple design of them, how they're just corpses in robes, and that's enough to make them creepy-looking aliens, and how they don't really sync up with how they talk.
Yeah.
I like that. And I also like how I kind of like what they're trying to do, where they're just trying to be you have to go to them and kind of ask for their help in order to do whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like that kind of goes up against how they look. It's a little bit of a strange match.
Which is also interesting because, and let's just dive into the episode.
Yeah.
They said they chose that form to be pleasing or calming to us in a sort of contact-like decision. Maybe they saw that movie while they were simulating Earth, and they're like, that seems like a good idea.
It sounded like they chose that form just to burn them. Because they said, like, we chose the form that will look good to you, and to you, to us, you're all corpses. So that's why we look like corpses. Burn! We're the monks! Ow! And it was... So it didn't read as like, that doesn't make any sense, because if you're going to be like someone you would trust and love and give up their help to. It feels like you should look heroic. It feels like they should come as looking like heroes, like they almost have typical heroes.
Very backwards ideas on like what's pleasing to humans and the concept of what consent means.
Right. And so all like, the consent talk was consent talk.
And we'll absolutely get into that. And the chat saying like their reasoning is just weird.
Yeah, it's completely backwards of what you expect. So the
monks,
that's a point.
The monks as villains, like they come down here. They chose this in my mind. They chose this form to be off-putting a little bit to separate themselves and make themselves feel alien. Mm-hmm. But they are going with this monk-like look to make themselves.
To look wise
and look peaceful.
Yeah.
Because they're choosing to use this to use a strategy where they take it's like a backdoor like way to take over. It's not just by force.
Yeah.
Because that's how every alien race has tried to take over the planet and they all fail. But
it
to
is
take
kind
over
of by
through,
force though.
Yeah. Sorry.
But yeah, like in terms of the even how they talk about, well, you know, we could save you, and it just happens to be this, like, weird circumstance of her glasses were broken, and he got too drunk. And I'm like, yeah, but you know that. Like, you set it up.
Like, I think and not only
did
that,
they set it up?
Yeah, and they put the pyramid somewhere specifically so everyone would be worried. Like, they put the pyramid in a place where all of the world's military leaders would be by it and dealing with it, and they'd assume it would be... Oh, we're all going to go after each other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're literally, if the doctor wasn't there, we would have died. Mm-hmm. It's this weird, they want to go and subjugate a race by this weird game of mental chess.
Yeah.
They want to, like, literally mind F a race. They want to show up, tell them the world is going to end, but you must consent to us and we will stop it.
Yeah. And it also feels like they actually, to me, it didn't feel like they actually set up the end of the world. To me, it actually read, because we didn't see them put something in a certain place so the glasses will break. We just knew that that was kind of the first domino, but we didn't see them do anything to start the first domino. So to me, it read as like they ran enough simulations to know that this is one of the ways the world could end. So they knew it was going to happen and when it was going to happen because of the simulations. So they were able to be like, this is where we can help. This is the time to help. We're not going to tell you what's going to happen, but this is
It almost seemed more like they did have some understanding of how they could get that situation to happen through the simulations. So it's kind of like a butterfly effect thing.
Yeah.
Like, what happens if this woman does that every morning? Like, she always puts her purse on every morning. But what happens if something wakes up her husband a little bit earlier, so he ends up walking out behind her and closing the door? And this guy never goes out for drinking. I read some article about how, like, it was kind of implied that he's not really a drinker. So what happens if he happens to go out really and get really drunk that night and ends up drinking too much? And these two things happen on the same day. Where that seemed like that was planned from them experiencing the simulations, having an understanding of how these two people live their lives, and just adding slight movements to it to get that to happen.
But they didn't add any slight movements.
So we don't, not that we know of.
But if they, I think they see time as one whole thing, and they, if you believe in the multiverse theory, that every little decision, as small as a butterfly, it creates a separate timeline, they literally just went to the one timeline where the Earth would end.
Right.
And that just happens to be the timeline we're watching, where the doctor is.
And that's also not to say that they're not guilty of not saving the world, because the non-action is the same as action when it comes to it. So they know it's going to happen, and in fact they're more guilty because they're just not going to do anything, or they do something.
I feel like this thing was always destined to happen. These things were going to lead up to these guys accidentally creating a biotoxin.
Mm-hmm.
But they, I think by putting this pyramid in, they sort of removed someone's attention from this situation. That so by the time it started to spread and get out, that person that would have saved the day is dealing with the pyramid crisis.
Yeah.
And now... But, yeah, and they've either the Secretary General has been of the UN has been taken away, or one of these military leaders, or somebody working for them is just like not in the same place they were going to be. There's one less person
not supposed to be there
dealing with a biotoxin fallout, And it just, that's how they kill the world.
I also just don't think it was ever going to get down to the biotoxin really happening.
Yeah, I think they show them an alternate.
Yeah, because it seemed like the woman who was there dealing with it was handling it. Like, one person had died. And even if she hadn't gotten to, if the doctor hadn't been there to be like, we're going to blow it up, I bet you she would have gotten to that conclusion.
I don't know, because the way they set it up, they said that it vents out every 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So we saw her in those 30 minutes not really knowing what to do once the 30 minutes
was up. She was still thinking it over, but she was also coming up with, she was working with the doctor to have those thoughts. So yeah, maybe because if her friend hadn't died, then maybe that would have been his job to kind of like help him figure that out. But it seemed like they just have been played the whole time. So even with if it wasn't nuclear war, then it was the biotoxin. But it doesn't seem like they played on humanity's inability to believe that we can handle those type of situations. And that's what ended up happening.
Also, I think they played with the doctor, because I think from their simulations that you know that they've worked with the doctor and killed the doctor several times in other simulations. Ugh. But one of the things that they needed was love, and they were not going to get any of that from the generals in order to connect. They knew the only person they can get that from is Bill.
Yeah, so they split them up. And the thing was that they talked about the episode before, last episode, was how the doctor was blind and how he didn't want any of his enemies to know he's blind. And what's the first thing they learn in the simulation is that the doctor is blind. And they use that. Like, it just seemed like everything was like too... Like, the moment he walked in there, they had won.
The question is why they needed this consent and why they needed it in this form from what effectively felt like could have been almost anyone. Mm-hmm. Because they're looking for somebody with power. Mm-hmm. Well, they're looking for the actual, like, person who would turn over, like, the person who would theoretically give consent. Mm-hmm. In this case... It's the doctor.
Yeah.
Who I love that they brought this back as the president of the world. God.
I love how even he says it. He's like, I'm the president of the world. Like,
it's a thing. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. But at the same time, right now, they're dealing with someone who's the closest friend to the doctor, so has a direct connection to the power that is the doctor.
Yes, but has not, like, but this, like, has not been officially told that she speaks for him. I guess companions
it's him. Because in like if you put her in danger, you can manipulate the doctor, which makes her an ultimate figure of power. It's not the superficial title of power like a lot of the generals might have had. Mm-hmm. This was someone who actually had a link to power because the doctor has killed and helped and destroyed so many people and is himself so powerful.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. So we can acknowledge that at least Bill does have power.
Yeah.
But their whole thing is that they don't want to rule by fear. Mm-hmm. They don't want to rule by fear or by force. They want to rule by love. But they're only getting consent from one person. Mm-hmm. They're willing to get it from the Secretary General of the UN or this small collection of military leaders who are not even necessarily, with the exception of the Chinese woman, whose name I will not attempt to pronounce, they're not the leaders of their armies.
Yeah.
Even. Like, General Brabbit, I think he was a general, but even so, he's not the Secretary of Defense. He's not the President of the United States. Mm. They like these are lower down figures. The Russian guy seemed like he was just like a guard at a post. We never really got what his actual role was. Yeah,
you
kind
of
got a sense
he was another general of some sort. Yeah. They were all just three generals.
I think Jacob Albers in the chat sums it up nicely. The consent is an illusion. They know no Bill will give up Earth for the doctor.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
It's all for the doctor.
Yeah.
Yes. But so what? So this, I'm leading to a question. Like, what do you guys think the reason that they needed the consent was?
Well, one interesting theory that I saw on the Reddit forum discussion for this is that the monks might actually be Time Lords themselves.
Yeah, I was about to say it.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think they're Time Lords, because even the concept of the when Bill was describing the pyramid, She's like, oh, it's a spaceship. And I was like, oh, it's a TARDIS.
It is a TARDIS.
And I was like, oh, it's a TARDIS.
There's a round thing in the middle that controls something that appears out of nowhere.
And they don't appear in their real form. They can see different dimensions of time. They can show them different, endings of time.
The spaceship can turn into whatever they want it to.
Exactly.
Also
cloaking. It has a
cloaking device. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there's a word for chameleon circuit.
Chameleon circuit.
Also, I have the suspicion that actually their form that they're taking, they say they chose it to make them seem like ultimate powerful Q beings. But there's a part of me that thinks maybe they didn't choose it. Mm. And one of the theory that's on the Reddit forum is that they're actually looking like corpses because they're at the end of their regenerations. And this is a way to kind of get their regenerations back up.
Maybe they need life force from...
They need some sort of... Or something like that.
They can only get it from consent.
Well, they probably need the life force from the doctor. because he has...
13 more.
13 more.
True.
So.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
That's maybe a theory.
That feels correct, but there have been some people in the chat who are talking about this who have said the pyramid's a pyramid, guys. None of these people are Time Lords, everything, like...
Well, the pyramid's not a pyramid.
Well, no, that's super twisty, and I kind of like it. And because the Time Lords are, like, vaguely back in this
universe.
And they
are wearing the Time Lord colors. That was something that, even though, they're monk colors, I was like, but that's also the color of the Time Lords. That's what they wear.
And you're right. And, like, if this was a TARDIS that was either a much older TARDIS or a much more advanced TARDIS than what we're used to, there's a large circular thing in the middle. It is piloted by at least a dozen people, which we know a TARDIS normally needs to pilot it.
Oh.
That you're not supposed to fly it with one person. That's why Doctor's always screwing up.
Yeah.
Right.
It appears as something that, like, I guess, like, you can manipulate a chameleon circuit to, like, present as whatever you want, but, like, something that fits on this planet at the very least. Mm-hmm. So it... It's not a perfect
theory. They
also
they have a very clear understanding of, like, how to manipulate time, even in that one space of just understanding, like, well, when these certain things hit, that'll hit. I mean, I feel like even the Doctor has been able to use that of, like, going someplace and knowing exactly how things are going to go and using that to his benefit up to a certain point. I could be wrong.
Yeah, but taking over everyone's clocks reminds me of Missy with the planes.
Mm-hmm.
And of the Doctor in Matt Smith's first episode. I always forget the title of that one.
Right.
His very first episode.
Fish Fingers and Custard?
Yes. Okay. When he, with numbers, Prisoner Zero.
Yeah, Prisoner Zero.
And he turns all the clocks in the world to zero. So, like, all of these things feel like Time Lord moves and strategies that we've been presented with.
Right.
And we built in last week's episode so much about Missy.
That's right.
That it feels like something. There has to be some important connection between these people and Missy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's going to. I think the third episode's really going to bring in Missy and the vault and all of that stuff.
And not just in a tangential, like, maybe she can help save the day way. I feel like there is a direct.
She has exposition connection. For us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of like, no, these guys are this.
Because, there has to be a reason why she...
The 11th hour. Thank you, chat. Oh!
Put in the vault.
Extra connection.
Yeah, the 11th hour.
The 11th hour.
Yeah, see,
yeah, with the doomsday clock.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the... They're like, come on, man. You guys know how many episode titles there are?
Yeah.
God. Although that one was, like, very directly correlated to this one.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm excited.
Do we have any theories that aren't that they were Time Lords or some type of
Gallifreyan? I mean, they could just be very powerful aliens.
Yeah. Or they could just be aliens that existed at the same time of Gallifrey and stole a lot of the technology.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like a lot more work than we're proposing.
The other question is, like, why did they want to take over the Earth? Like, what is in it for them?
Well, that's what I was going to say. What did Missy do to end up in the vault? Like, so...
Everything with...
Yeah, but still. But, but how long has the Master gotten away with things? Like, for how long? And he's already been tossed aside and thrown into Gallifreyan jail. So, at this point, what does he have to do, or she, or they, whatever, to end up at the point where she's taken to this planet that's strictly for execution.
She teamed up with the Daleks.
Well, no. But what I'm trying to say is, I think that what she actually did was she went in and annihilated the Time Lords. So that might this is just a theory I'm throwing out. And the remaining Time Lords need a new Gallifrey, essentially. Mm-hmm. And maybe they want Earth, but they also kind of some of the Time Lords hate the Doctor for, you know, just being the Doctor.
Stealing a TARDIS.
Just stealing a TARDIS. Yeah. Just from, like, being crazy sometimes. And so I feel like that might be their reasoning for... If this is true, then that might be their reason for going to Earth and deciding to take it over. It's also just to kind of piss the Doctor off. Or they might be working with Messi.
Right.
Yeah, Messi is always trying to take over the Earth.
Yeah, and I like the idea that they're maybe even trying to get to the Vault. Mm-hmm. Like, they're trying to get the Vault, like, maybe to get Missy... Or to use the quantum loop that she's in. Is that how it ended? Where she's stuck in that quantum loop? Or did she survive? Because I remember she, like, woke up. I kind of forget.
He didn't kill her.
He didn't kill
her. No, he just zapped her and threw her into the vault for 1,000 years. Mm-hmm.
So they might want to just use both of their regenerations. Because they have, like, they're both two regeneration machines. So, and this could just be a dying race of some sort that wants to use that, too. So it could be not Time Lord related, but something from the past.
Yeah,
I only think it's Time Lord because they actually got one over on the Doctor.
True.
And that's something that so rarely happens. Mm-hmm. And they also have the power to give him his sight back. So there's a lot of things that make me feel like these sound like people who are at the same level as the Doctor.
Here's what I don't want to happen. That this is just a second simulation.
Oh, that might happen too.
I would hate that a lot.
I would too. It's always the danger you do when you do any kind of simulation or dream sequence. Is like then, like how many Inception levels can we go through before your audience just like riots on you? And I don't think Doctor Who's going to do that. One, because we've seen that. Okay, like we've seen that done so many times, and like,
yeah,
it's just not. Even Moffat, like, who has, like, a lot of, like, weird, like, choices when he just, like, I'm going to do it because I felt like doing it. I think he would draw the line at doing multiple
levels. And this had such a good endpoint to the simulation that it was like, I don't want them to stay in the simulation.
I'm not saying I want that or I think that's happening. Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully it's not, like, next. You guys ever seen that movie?
Ryan Witalison in the chat says, Time Lords don't have the power to restore sight. Which these guys did remotely in an instant.
True, which was a little weird. And it makes it seem like they're maybe even more powerful than the Time Lords. They're kind of more of Q beings.
Which it could be an offshoot, a cousin race or something. Like, we know that there are tons of other, like, peoples and races that, like, work near or alongside the Time Lords.
Also, keep in mind, he got sight back, and then he came back to Earth, and then he lost his sight again. Isn't that what happened in Oxygen?
He did something to his brain. You mean in the simulation?
In the simulation, but also, like, no, before the simulation, when he came back to from the Oxygen episode, I'm just saying they maybe could have...
No, he never had any sight.
Kept his blindness away, is what they could have done. They could have... He could have been blind because of them. So taking it away might be them just turning off the off switch. Even though he kind of lost it in the Oxygen episode. But
also, these are beings that can run enough simulations that maybe they figured out stuff that Gallifreyans might not have figured out yet. Right. If they are Gallifreyans, but they found a way to run simulations among all the time streams, they would have the computing power. They would have the computing power to figure out how to stop blindness in an instant or take over Earth. I think the only thing they need is love, which I guess...
Yeah.
The Doctor can give them...
So, okay, let's talk about the whole love thing.
Mm-hmm.
What if... Because, like, this is what I'm thinking when we're talking about, like, well, why are they here? Mm-hmm. Which is a big question, because, like, just conquer... Well, we're here to rule the Earth is boring, and I don't think that's what they're going for here. What if they are taking over the Earth as an energy resource, and the way that they fuel all their stuff is with the power of love?
Oh, God. With the power disgusting. Of love!
Sorry.
Oh.
Apologize to all the viewers at home. But, like, not just... But
no,
like,
not you.
And also, it's because, like... And, Dave, you know this as well as anybody. Also, because I've been watching American Gods and the concept of, like, faith. as an energy resource. Yeah. Like, what if the devotion of these people of an entire planet's worth of people to this race is somehow how they derive either their strength, their life energy, maybe like that's how they get their form of regenerations or power their starships, like with that liquid starship we saw in the first episode.
Well, Russell T. Davies did that back during the Martha Jones years when the Doctor had been captured by the Master.
Was that in the end of time? Because this episode reminded me so much of the end of time.
Just by everyone saying Doctor and believing in the Doctor, he was restored. So that could be a possibility.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Especially, and we won't know specifics, but like the preview of next week's episode.
Looks so much like.
Reminded me so much of End of Time.
Almost too much. It got me worried. Because it just seemed like they're retracing stuff, and it's like...
Well, did Moffat write that? That was Davies.
It was Davies as the showrunner, but I don't know who wrote it. I'll look at it.
I like that episode, but I don't want to see it again. Or if I want to see it again, I'll see that episode again, you know?
We got Netflix, guys.
Yeah.
You'll just watch that episode.
No, it's not on Netflix anymore.
It's on Amazon Prime now.
Oh.
Yeah, so... But it's,
get your streaming services.
I have both of those streaming services.
Yeah, it just felt very similar, which was a little weird, especially if it's like the two black companions are doing the very similar thing.
Written by Russell T. Davies. It was written by Russell T. Davies. The End of Time.
If it's going to be with her and having like a one-off and... struggling with love, then it's a lot like Martha Jones. lot like Martha Jones.
Either way,
that's just a theory. Nothing other than crazy wild swings is why I'm going there. I have no evidence. Right.
A lot of theory stuff. I want to talk about like some specific great lines and moments from this episode too. I feel us going so far into the weeds of just future stuff.
We got to go back and I want to talk about like the before we do like handpicked moments. Like let's talk about the other pawns because like Erica and Douglas.
That's what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah,
Erica was so great, and I expect Douglas I could kind of take the leave.
But they were both like characters. Like that's the thing. Yeah. Like they could have easily just put like two drones in there, and they just like somebody slips and created a virus, or like somebody entered the data wrong. But
isn't that how Outbreak starts? Like it's very much like
something like that.
Yeah.
I still like there were still moments with Douglas that I was kind of like, dude. There's so many second nature stuff that should come as a scientist. Like, I have a brother who's a scientist, and he has, like, certain things that he does, even if he's hungover.
Yeah.
And one of the things he wouldn't do is just open up a case, scoop up some stuff without the helmet, and then keep the door open as he's walking out the door.
That was all very weird.
I understand, like, the messing up the figures, and that's how he, like, started this whole thing.
I still don't really understand that.
Get that, because I've done that so much if I'm just filling out Excel sheets. Yeah. Like, I do that all the time.
I think they're trying to say that this was the worst day ever for him.
Yeah.
But I think even the worst day ever for
airlock in an emergency. That's the kind of thing that you are drilled on.
Mm. Or just to be like, oh shit, we created a terrible toxin here. Let's shut everything down.
I'm rushing to figure out what terrible thing I've done, maybe I should contain said terrible thing.
Yeah,
and if you're gonna throw up in your mask, maybe you don't go in there. Maybe you go and actually throw up.
Even taking off the helmet wasn't so bad to me because it was like, oh, they do this all the time.
And those weren't airtight seals. I got the sense that they were more about like splash protection kind of thing.
I think they were airtight only because she didn't. Like, anyone who wasn't the doctor who went in that room had some, like, strong effect to it. Even Nardal had a reaction to it.
Right.
So, that's why I think that they were airtight.
What bothered me was not so much the taking off the helmet, because I'm like, okay, he's still hungover, he's still making mistakes. But when things were going down, he opened up a glass case. Mm-hmm. He scooped up the worst things that happened.
With his bare hands, mind you.
Yeah. Was it bare hands? Well,
he had the white glove on the suit, but did still
he?
Okay. Not.
But then he left the door open as he walked away with it. I would think that keep it at least behind the glass thing and then realize... All they need to do was like, I have it in me.
If that's a possibility with what they're doing, isn't there a button you push that just destroys all the stuff?
I think it was like impossible. I think they didn't anticipate it going this bad.
It's a missed decimal. So I guess
this isn't like a war like factory lab. This is just like they're like They're basically botanists.
It's what I got. Agrofuel, so they are kind of.
Well, yeah, but I don't think there was ever a thought that they could get anywhere near
to what they got.
Something that you would also need to burn the lab down around them.
Also, I did find out that this was based off of a real thing. This was based off this I saw on the Wikipedia, but it looks like a lot of the sources back this up. Because on the screen, they call it what they're working on R. planticola. And Rotella planticola was the subject of a genetic engineering experiment in the 1990s to enhance its ability to break down organic plant matter to ethanol. When tested in non-sterile ordinary soil, it was found that this modified bacteria caused massive plant death with the ethanol production. So some have thought that if this went out of hand, fortunately it didn't, but if it went out of hand, that it could have like been this doomsday device that they're talking about here. So that's kind of neat that they actually took from a real life scare that where they were working on some bacteria.
That's cool. But yeah, I mean, I really like the I like the characters, and we can like yell at Douglas for like dumb decision making. Like, look, I've been hungover before, and like I've had to go to work hungover. It's not fun. Usually, it's because of a poorly timed office party. Why they do it in the middle of the week, I do not know.
The vendors are
that happens. Yeah, probably. But when there's an emergency, adrenaline will take care of the rest.
Yeah,
it's not enough like to just keep going forward.
Right. I do have to say I loved Erica.
She was phenomenal. She was just like a fun character that like. I bought everything about what that actress did.
Yeah, and the casting for her was great too because it's great that they cast a little person and they didn't nod towards the fact that it was. No one really brought it up, and it was diverse casting we don't tend to see.
And I would hope it's diverse enough casting that the script was written as this person.
Yeah.
And then a little person auditioned and they were like, we like her.
Yeah, or they just had an actress they wanted to use and they're like, well, this like
fill in any
even if they wrote the role for her, whatever. Like it was just it was well handled and exactly the type of diversity casting that you want because it's just casting.
Yeah,
it's nothing
to do with it. It had nothing to do with it. It was great, and I hope we see more of her actually. Yeah. And I do like the doctor's line where he's like, seriously, what are you doing after this? Do you want to just join up?
Or? He does that so much now that I'm just like, I no longer have any faith. And until I see someone he said that to like 3 seasons ago come back and be a companion. I'm just like, whatever. Yeah, quit saying that to people.
He does say that a lot. This is like the doctor flirting.
Yeah.
Like he's out at the bar. He's like, I just like to flirt. I'm not necessarily going to take her home, but like it feels good.
And he actually was kind of flirting pretty hard with her. There was even that one boy, it's like, now I'm going to do something and you're going to love me forever. Mm. Or it's like, and you're going to have a wonderful crush on me or something like that. And so he was kind of
flirting. The doctor this season especially has gotten really cocky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in every aspect. And it really works it works for Capaldi.
Yeah, it does.
With the meditating by walking around playing a guitar.
Yeah.
Capaldi.
And also being blind and cocky, I think, is a good thing too.
But just like that, he keeps doing it like where he's just like now it is a little bit of the self awareness that I think has been missing a little bit from Doctor Who in recent seasons. But like the Doctor's been doing this for so long.
Yeah.
He's like in Oxygen when he's like. I'm going to save your life, and then you'll be wondering who I am for the rest of it.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's exactly great. What's going to happen for people like that the doctor saves.
Like, Peter Capaldi, I don't know. I don't know if it has anything to do with Clara, but all I'm saying is that Peter Capaldi seems to be having a lot more fun this season. Maybe it is because this is his last season, but even the chemistry between him and Bill, him and Odal, like, he's joking a lot more. He just seems happier.
It's almost like it's a good idea to switch up the companions on a show every so often.
It's also like I think it's also because Capaldi in this season is not dealing with like having a season where he's trying to figure out who he is and play off of like that. Now he is who he is and you don't have that first episode.
Well, there's no like oh, I'm either we're figuring who this doctor is, or mm-hmm. oh, we're setting up to say goodbye to this 3-year-old companion. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of a, you know, I think Capaldi kind of got, like, the short end of the stick because he did have to deal with having the same companion as Matt Smith and all that history that came with it. And not to say that it can't be done. I mean, David Tennant had the same companion as Christopher Eccleston, and that was, like, the best thing in the world. But,
yeah, but they, right. she was, Rose was still only around for 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Total.
Yeah. But, I would have loved to have seen him get a new companion last year. But just Matt Smith got to be his doctor immediately. And so it kind of sucks that it took this long to really see, like, a fully fleshed out
doctor. And it's going to really suck when we're going to get this the fully fleshed out doctor that is Capaldi, and then we're going to lose him soon.
Yeah.
Like, we're losing him, and you can count on your hand how many episodes.
I think that they're, like, we've sort of, with New Who at the very least, we have sort of found the sweet spot for how long you should keep a doctor and a companion around before you run into problems. A doctor...
Three seasons,
a companion two. Mm-hmm. Because even though Amy and Rory are my favorite companions, the 7th season, they were only there for the first half of it. But that first half was the weakest of their episodes. Mm-hmm. 2 seasons for companions seems like a great amount of time to let them grow and breathe and change and do different things. And then move on with them. And you can always bring people back in for any kind of ridiculous adventure. But 2 seasons for a companion and then 3 for a doctor, that keeps like it keeps the doctor being fresh with different companions, which changes the way the doctor behaves, and it lets the companions go before they overstay their welcome.
Yeah. Right.
And the companions can always come back.
Like if they don't die.
Right.
Yeah, like,
and even if they do
die. Even if they do die. Even if they do, who knows? He manages time and space. It's all good.
Sydney, Amy was around for 2.5 seasons.
Yes.
So just in the middle.
Just that half season. I agree. We didn't necessarily need it.
It had a good goodbye. They had a great goodbye.
But
like it could have happened. The rest of that season was like the idea of them getting divorced. I don't even think it gets started.
Yeah, we don't have to go into it.
Speaking of companions, I do want to talk about Nardal in this episode.
Yes.
I thought he was really great in the last 2 episodes.
Nardal is so great. He is, like, we count him as a companion, right? Or is he, like, second-tier companion, like Jack?
Well, he was originally supposed to be like a Jack Harkness. He was supposed to be just kind of a recurring and not as often. But I think what ended up happening is that they liked him so much that they kept bringing him back.
He's the K-9.
Yeah.
He's definitely...
He is the K-9.
He is the K-9.
And for the Christmas episode, he was the independent companion.
Yeah.
So, like, technically, he would be considered
Yeah, he is a companion. My only, like, hang-up about it is I was like, man, this, like, happens a lot to the black companions. I'm like, why do they have to share?
It doesn't feel so much like a sharing thing.
Yeah.
Because he feels almost like a tool. If that makes any sense. He feels like he's the assistant to the doctor and not an equal. He feels like he's not even an equal to Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bill's there to be as almost like a colleague.
Nardal's sort of his secretary.
Yeah. And he does like a yes, sir. Like, he has that great moment in this where he's just brainstorming. He's like, what do we live off of? And Nardal says air, water, food, and beer.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, air, water, food. And then he asks him to do something and just goes, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And it was just a nice little, you saw the chain of command.
Yeah.
And you don't get that. So I feel like...
It's also kind of like a mom/wife type feel to him.
Yeah.
He is also badgering.
In fact, he said, I'm not just sexy.
That was so good.
Which almost makes me suspicious. Like, him saying, I'm not just sexy. It was almost like... That was very Rivers, what he just said. And I'm not saying, like, we're going to get Rivers back, but it's like, he has a lot of Rivers in him.
You mean River Song?
Yeah. River Song, yeah.
Okay.
It was like, Rivers, yeah, sorry, River Song. It was enough to be like, what is, are they, is
the, can we
this
not?
Is secretly River Song? Or
can we
no,
not?
Can
no,
we
I
not?
Don't think
Please.
So. But the sexy was enough to be like, oh, right.
No, I think it's just, it's like what we got last week with Nardal, where they're like, I think like they just realized that they could get a lot more ridiculous with this character, where he's like, he's got this swagger that, like, because remember, he's not human, so whatever life he's from, he had like respect and like a flair, and he he hacked these cameras mm-hmm. in seconds.
Right.
Like Nardal, like as much as he's played as this silly, ridiculous mm-hmm. man because he's played by Matt Lucas, like he is showing himself to be more than capable,
yeah.
like right. more capable than most companions, at least in a from a practical mm-hmm. standpoint.
But they've also kind of upgraded the character just since his introduction at the Husbands of River Song, where he was kind of like bumbling and didn't seem like he knew what he was doing, to now like
right.
there was a change in his character during this year's Christmas special, where maybe they decided, you know, well, if he's going to be around, then maybe we should, you know.
Yeah, it also showed that
some more.
Time has passed, and he showed mm-hmm. what it was like to hang out with the Doctor yeah. and River.
And he's been hanging out with them for almost 100 years at this point.
Yeah. I get the sense that Nardal is super book smart,
mm-hmm.
but has no street smarts.
No.
But he thinks that he does.
Yeah. I also got that we finally had some acknowledgement about what he is in this episode. Because I kept thinking, like, in Oxygen, especially, it was, do they need to give him a mask? Does he need to be breathing? And then,
but his lungs are human.
Yeah, at least in this episode, he said, like, well, I'm not human. And then he says, well, you pretty much are, because I got your lungs for cheap.
Mm. Let's not forget that right now, Nardal is lying, like, seemingly dead on the floor of the TARDIS.
Yeah.
What is
TARDIS is not going to be about that life. TARDIS is like, we're not going to take care of you. TARDIS doesn't let people die in there unless they're the Doctor.
I mean, if the lungs are dead, the TARDIS, there's nothing the TARDIS can do.
We'll find out.
And I'm sure there's a long list of people who have died in the TARDIS. I bet there are.
TARDIS?
I can't think of anyone dying in the TARDIS that's not like the Doctor.
Since 05, I don't think so.
No.
What about that one probably. Where they went to the center of the TARDIS? Didn't a couple people die there?
But they were all part of the TARDIS. They were all right. part of the TARDIS.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I kind of forget. That's a trippy episode.
Any other moments or stuff that you guys wanted to touch on before we go into predictions?
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, that's the big stuff.
Just happy about that suit.
Suit's great.
It's great suit. That gray suit.
Probably soon to be available from the BBC online store.
If you could make it in a women's size small, I would mm-hmm. appreciate it.
Or a size large.
Then let's go into predictions for next week.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
Try to take some deep breaths. Alright. Next week's episode, The Lie of the Land. Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's going to be another alternate reality kind of episode. Where it's now what happens if these monks are taken over and it's another landscape.
Also, what is with the Black Companions being stuck in alternate worlds where the Doctor's gone bad or can't remember who he is? And having to deal with the Master.
It's just a weird racial bias to have, like, we have alternate worlds.
I don't know if it's so weird strange. As much as particular.
It's a particular thing. Martha Jones had to deal with the same thing. Right. I just think that's funny that she had to deal with like almost the exact same scenario.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see twice. What next week looks like, but it does. It feels so close to the end of time that, like, if this is when John Sim is gonna pop out,
then like, it's almost beat for beat.
Then I think we're gonna get like some like direct like. I've been here before. And then David Tennant walks out and we're just like losing our minds while like not understanding anything.
But as like the baby.
British Twitter's going to destroy it for us if that happens.
But I love the idea of the Doctor having to turn to Missy to fight a foe that he doesn't know how to stop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why I also think it's the Time Lord. Because the only person who would go up against him like that would be Missy. Mm-hmm. And so... I think we're going to discover that they have some type of relation to Messi. I also, oh my gosh, I just want to be right about Bill being in some way related to the Doctor.
What percentage Time Lord do you have to be to have like regenerative
not
abilities?
Much.
Since I guess because River
was
just even
exposed.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, she was just born
all right.
and conceived.
Oh, yeah, in the TARDIS, right?
Mm-hmm. She was by the TARDIS?
In the TARDIS.
No, yeah. In. Yeah.
Not
yeah.
by
in
the TARDIS.
Sorry, guys.
During the sexiest of TARDIS trips.
Right.
But yeah, so, all right. So the Doctor, but like, here's the thing. Do you think the Doctor makes a deal with Missy? Do you think that he just, do you think Missy is just going to, like, sign up because they're friends, as they put it?
I think Missy owes him one. And I think sometimes the Master, historically, the Johnson Master, did do the Doctor a solid simply because of that friendship, or because the Doctor did something for him and he owed the Doctor. So at least in, like, the, not End of Time, but the other one, the very last Tennant one, the Master came back for that and helped him defeat the Time Lords as well. So I think it's going to be one of those things. But then it's like, I gave you the solid, but I'm still going to, like, come and mess up your crap later. So, yeah.
I am anxious to see, like, a John Sims Master that isn't insane. That doesn't have, like, the pounding of rhythm in his head.
The drums.
Yeah, the drums. So.
I think I'm going to stand by my prediction. I'm going to stand by my prediction that Missy was going to have a lot of exposition for us over who the Monks are.
Right.
Mm.
Better, for better or worse.
Mm-hmm. Whether they're old foes. Maybe the Monks are... Do you think the Monks could be going after Missy for some reason
way? Yeah. I think Missy is the MacGuffin probably of next week's episode, maybe. Mm. But why do they have to change the world or take over it in order to get at her?
Because then they might be working with
her. This is the only way to stop the Doctor.
Wait, remember that the only way to get into the vault is if you're a friend of the Doctor.
Yep.
Maybe if you have a connection to the love of the Doctor.
Hmm.
So maybe the only way they can physically get to the vault is if they have consent from someone who loves the Doctor.
Well, it seems like...
Or if...
Bill gets into the vault.
Yeah, but that kind of works, right? Like, to get near to it...
Yeah, you have to be
friend of the Doctor. So getting consent from someone who loves the Doctor is maybe a way to get to the vault.
Yeah. Or if they got... Or by getting Bill's consent... They can then have a certain control over her to, like, go open the vault now.
Yeah, maybe.
But they could just have a straight up control over her. It gets like, a little... Go open the vault now, or the consent will kill you.
And here, Adrian, last thought.
I don't think that'll be the case, because it's implied that it's one of those situations where she remembers the world before them, so they don't necessarily have control over her.
Right.
Interesting.
Which is why I think they might be working with Missy.
On that note, sorry, Steve, we're out of time, so I'm going to cut you off. But that is going to be it for the Doctor Who After Show. Let us know more about what you think the Monks are doing, what we're looking for in the live, looking forward to next week with the Lie of the Land. Send us all of your theories. Keep the conversation going either in the YouTube comments below, or you can hit us up individually on Twitter. You can find me, Zach Wilson, at that Zach Wilson. That's THATZACHWILSON. Also, tune in right after this. Steve and I are going to be talking The Leftovers, the penultimate episode this week, and then the series finale next week. It's crazy. I don't even understand it, but I love it.
It's 9 o'clock.
Just watch it.
I'm shocked Roxy hasn't kicked open the door.
Steve, where can you find us?
You guys can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That's KAUFMANN. Join me in literally minutes to talk about The Leftovers.
Yeah, and you could join me in literally minutes to watch to talk about American Gods. So if you don't want to watch Leftovers, watch American Gods. They're both weird-ass shows. And you can find me at MRDaveChild or DaveChild.com. My name's Dave Child.
I'm actually going to go home. I'm going to finish watching Leftovers because I had 10 minutes left before I had to come here. But I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. You can also see me on The Handmaid's Tale on Thursdays and on Popcorn Talk for Unproduced Table Read on Fridays.
All right, guys. This has been the Doctor Who After Show. Thanks for geeking out with us.
Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.